Speaking of fairness, joining me now, Rabbi Yaakov Menken and Paul Teller is both with us. Gentlemen, sorry for the delay. Thanks for being with us. Got a lot going on in the crop storm going on there in Virginia. Rabbi, I want to start with you right off the bat, because apparently there's some kind of weird thing going on. What is going on in the neighborhood that I was just in, Rabbi Menken, Executive Vice President for the Coalition of Jewish Values. Go ahead, Rabbi.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having us on again, as usual. Appreciate it. And in Crown Heights, New York, where you were visiting up there, I think there was a bar mitzvah. There was some reception going on for charity, I think, and you were at
right.
It.
Yeah.
And so just a few nights ago, pro-Hamas protesters came outside 770 Eastern Parkway, which is the central synagogue of the entire Chabad-Lubavitch movement. And not coincidentally, that's the same Chabad-Lubavitch center that is, you know, where the Chabad is serving as a refuge for Jewish students on campuses all over the country. So they came right there to the epicenter of Chabad to yell their anti-Semitic slogans, like, you know, to massacre children is a civil rights cause, which is what it means when you yell violence is justified when people are occupied. And they said, we don't want two states, we want 48, which is to say, let's go back to when the Arab armies gathered to massacre the Jews. And that's what they were yelling outside 770. Now they're all playing the victim, because, I mean, imagine, let's say you go onto a college campus with a group of your friends and you yell how the local sports team is terrible, because that college's sports team is just dirt, and or use more colorful language than that, and see how long it is before you get beaten up. Much less if you go onto an HBCU and yell for black students to be lynched. How long are you going to last? Well, you know, it only took a certain amount of time for some Lubavitch kids to get good and upset at being, people calling for their genocide. And so there was a fracas. And, of course, they're now playing the victim. They're claiming, you see, the Jews attacked us. It's open, by the way. In SJP chapters, including the one at Princeton, where I'm an alumnus, the Princeton chapter said Jews attacked the protesters, not pro-Zionists, not Israel supporters. No. The masks are off. This is about anti-Semitic bigotry, and that's, of course, what was going on at Crown Heights.
Well, you're right. I was just there, three weeks ago, for a charity event for one of the Jewish schools there. A friend of mine who's on the board of directors, Lewis Topper, had it, and I was happy to be there. Tom Homan was there, and Ann and I spent a couple of days there. It was the first time, really, we had been in Crown Heights for the, you know, other than just going and out for, you know, an event or something. We had a chance to walk around. I got a chance to walk by where the original Ebbets Field was, not there obviously anymore, where the Brooklyn Dodgers played. So that was kind of fun, but, I mean, it's a Jewish community, and, you know, you go in there and I don't know what you expected was going to happen, but now they're playing a victim. Let's get to Paul Teller. Paul is the executive director of Advancing American Freedom. Paul, this anti-Semitism, I never thought, Paul, in my lifetime that I would see it rising to this level. I'm not a Jew, I'm a Catholic. I never thought in my lifetime I would see what I'm seeing now. What is the genesis of this?
Well, first of all, thanks as always for having me. Good to be with you both. And by the way, as a Catholic, you're more of a Jew defender than most Jews that I think we know. So, I mean, we really appreciate you. We're grateful for you. Grateful for all that stand up for fellow Jews. So just really grateful. I mean, like, obviously, you know, we've talked a lot on your show where it comes from. And some of it is maybe just, you know, misplaced jealousy, right? Because I guess on average, Jews, you know, seem to value education, so they reach places of higher education and business, and you know, maybe above average wealth. And some people or jealous of that, I guess. It's hard to know exactly where it's coming from. But what's amazing is how it's not kind of a one-time little flare-up and the elites in society kind of bat it down. It's just the opposite, right? The only folks really fomenting it right now are the elites, right? I mean, just look at any college campus. Look at some members of Congress. I mean, that's what's crazy, is that the ongoing anti-Semitism, would not exist were it not for left-wing wealthy elites. And it's just amazing.
I don't know how you can be Harvard and suing the government about not receiving taxpayer dollars,
yeah,
which nothing in the Constitution says we have to work hard so that money can be extracted out of our paycheck so we can send it to a left-wing, communist, anti-Jew, anti-Semitic institution that already has a $97 billion endowment. Like, square that for me, somebody.
Well, and what's amazing about that, too, like, first of all, you're exactly right. Like, nobody has a right to a government dollar. You know, there's nowhere in the Constitution that says, if you're an educational institution, you therefore deserve federal dollars. Frankly, it should be just the opposite, right? We should really get the nonprofit sector off of federal dollars completely. It would be great. But we can't do that overnight. We could certainly start by folks that are in blatant violation of federal law. That's the thing that a lot of these left-wingers are saying, or not realizing when they're saying that, it's freedom of speech, freedom of speech. Well, here's the thing, like, even freedom of speech has boundaries. One such boundary is the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and others that I thought the left liked, because these are just blatant violations. You don't just get to say whatever you want when that speech becomes harassment, when the speech then the next step quickly is violence, or you're inciting violence. I mean, it's just amazing that they're defending this. But here we are.
If I could add that it's even open bigotry to call for funding to continue going to Harvard, because right now Jewish students are actively being excluded. They're not allowed to access certain parts of the campus when there's demonstrations going on, and they're choosing to go elsewhere permanently. Like, there are more American students in Israeli universities. These guys were really about Israel. The last thing they would be doing is all these demonstrations, because they're sending top minds to Israel to strengthen that country and that economy, because they're getting them out of America because they're afraid to go to places like Harvard. It is open bigotry to hand money to Harvard while Harvard is not friendly to Jewish students, while Jewish students are being actively excluded like anybody else. Any racist institution would not receive funding from the U.S. government. How is it that anti-Semitism is more tolerable than any other form of racism? Well, here we go. That's the left for you.
So I'm trying to find a end game here. What's the end game?
No.
Paul?
We have to pull back. Well, I want to toss in that I was in California last week. I was speaking at a campus that has an active SJP chapter. And, one is that I warned them right off the bat that, this process of yelling people down and silencing the opposition and only allowing one side to talk, that's not part of democratic society. That's not part of freedom of speech. And in fact, there's no precedent for it in America. In fact, the last president I could find in Europe in any democracy is the Hitler Youth. It's how you turn a democracy into a totalitarian society, when you shout down everybody who doesn't say one narrative. Well, that stopped them from doing a protest in the middle of my talk. But after shouting questions, an old shouting match, and they realized they could not faze me, I was the one holding the microphone. So I got, I didn't have to raise my voice, nothing, just answered all their challenges. They stormed out. 75% of the audience left because they couldn't bear to hear it. And this is the thing. We've got to continue giving out and pursuing the truth. The majority of America does not stand for this nonsense. The majority of America does not want anti-Semites taking over the elite universities. And so right now, I honestly think that what the Trump administration is doing is America's best hope for a future. Seriously, the way that it was being dragged down with DEI and anti-Semitic nonsense, that's how you ruin a civilization. Like, look at Germany. Its reputation will not recover for another 100 years. And that's where America was headed until now.
Yeah, great point. And John, also, you were saying, what's the end game? I think, to sum it up, the end game has to be some pain for these institutions that have been, taking taxpayer money and using it to foment hate. I hate to say it, right? If you're just kind of an innocent, great student that got into a great school and doing your great work and really technically not part of it, it's a shame, right, that you're going to get caught up in this. But I do think these schools have to feel some pain, not only in and of themselves, so that there's punishment for the schools that have done the worst atrocities, but also to send the lesson to other schools and administrators who maybe were thinking about, hey, maybe I can get some national press and some coolness points. If I do some anti-Semitism here on this campus, they'll quickly say, no, I better not do that because I'm going to lose money. I'm going to get negative press. I'm going to lose donors, et cetera, my applicant pool will go down or worsen, that kind of thing. So I think that's the end game. It's just some pain.
Paul, if you look at where this is going, I guess my one disappointment is there's not more Jew professors coming out in the media. That's my disappointment here. Like, you're a professor at the school, you see what's going on, and there's many of them. You're a Jew, you got your doctorate, you got your tenure, you see what's going on. Where the hell are you? Like, why aren't you out there being on the front lines of this battle? You work there, and your safety is at risk when these crazies are out there yelling what they're yelling, which is basically exterminate your race. But you're up there teaching school. Where the hell are they?
Yeah, I think Rabbi Menken will agree with me on this, but I think for at least some or many of them, they don't see themselves as the same as the Jews that are being attacked. They see themselves as different. Well, because
why?
they've got a shield on them that's kind of the left wing aura. In other words, because they're pro-abortion, because they're otherwise left-wing in other areas of policy, they speak against Israel, they don't love everything Israel does. Therefore, they're not really the target, and so they don't feel any sort of brotherhood with the Jews that are being attacked on campus. That's the only thing I can come up with. I mean, you're right, it makes no sense, but I think that's part of it. The tyranny of the faculty lounge, right? They have to walk into the faculty lounge and be accepted amongst full spectrum liberals, and to do that may mean you have to be a little anti-Israel and a little anti-Semitic. I mean, it's really sad, but I think that might be where we are.
Rabbi,
not only is he right, not only is Paul right, but I mean, look at the Democrats in Congress. The Democratic the advocates for Israel, the ones who are actually fighting back against this nonsense, are Richie Torres and John Fetterman. Where are the Jews? There's an awful lot of elected Jews in the Congress and in the Senate, Schumer. And the response that they've been giving us is pathetic. And the president of Wesleyan University, who is now a Jew also, they prove the point that being a Jew is an accident of birth. But knowing Judaism and knowing anti-Semitism and all that, that is most definitely not an accident of birth, because these guys have no clue.
Unbelievable. Always a great discussion with you guys. We gotta roll. I want to thank you
for
your time today. Thank you for being with
us.
Yeah. Paul, people want to follow you. Where do they go?
At P. Teller, if you're on Twitter or X, or at American Freedom, or just go to our website, advancingamericanfreedom.com. Appreciate you.
Rabbi?
At Y. Menken or at CJ Values, cjvalues.org. Same deal.